Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and we're now at the point where we're going to examine the characteristics of the heretics. So let's read verses 12 and 13 of Jude again together. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we've been examining the first of these five characteristics of the heretics that Jude reveals to us here. Let's look closely at what Jude is telling us in the first part of verse 12. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear. Now, Jude says here that the heretics who creep into the church to destroy the people of God are like hidden reefs in our love feast. Now, we've already seen how that the church commonly held what were called love feasts during the first century. And we have already seen that in these love feasts, the heretics would creep in to mingle with the believers in order to become accepted with them. So it was the duty and the responsibility of the leadership of the church to watch and pray and to guard the souls of the sheep by weeding out or dividing between the wheat and the chaff to make sure that the heretics would not stay among the saints. They did this in a number of ways. One way that the early church had of verifying that those in the church were genuinely saved was to teach and preach and expound sound biblical doctrine on a regular basis. You see, dear friends, truth is always the best defense against error. When truth is taught rightly, fully, and consistently, error has a very hard time rearing its ugly head. When sound doctrine is not taught, the people of the church become susceptible to slick presentations of clever men who have great personalities who can very quickly lead the people astray. This is why I highly recommend that the leadership of every church sit down and hammer out a written confession or statement of faith. That confession should be in as much detail as possible, and it should be completely scriptural. You see, many churches today have a tendency to try to be as general and as vague as possible when it comes to doctrinal statements, precisely because they want to remain as attractive as possible to as many people from different backgrounds as possible, so more people will want to come to their church. But that logic is exactly backward. Instead, we need to be as detailed as possible about what we believe and teach, so it is clear what we believe and teach. And we need not to be lazy about this and to go ahead and do our homework and hammer out a confession of faith that is scriptural and then teach that confession, know and understand that confession, and practice and live and be proud about that confession. You see, beloved, if our confession of faith is biblical, there should be no problem with genuine believers. The only problem arises when the confession is not biblical or we have members in the church who are not truly saved. For example, the written confession or statement of faith needs to clearly articulate what the church believes and teaches about the absolute authority of Scripture, what the church believes and teaches about the character and nature of God. It should also include a very detailed biblical examination about the person of Jesus Christ in both his full humanity and deity. A complete and thorough explanation of how lost man is justified before God, and then that confession of faith should go into great detail about how to put our Christian faith into practice in our daily lives. That confession of faith should have scriptural references for each and every tenet of belief, and this confession should be written down and distributed freely to believers and non-believers alike, and then published on the church website. You see, our confession of faith is like an announcement to both believers and non-believers alike, crying out loudly and proudly, this is who we are, this is what we believe and teach, and this is why we believe it and teach it. And by doing this and by periodically going over every tenet of the confession to the members, the church will minimize the opportunity for heresy to even come into the church to begin with. A strong, biblical, written, and detailed confession of faith that is taught and believed and practiced by the members of the church is the single best weapon that we have against heresy. Those churches who have one will be properly defended, and those churches who do not have one or who have a vague or simplistic confession are sitting ducks for slick, carnal, and evil men to creep in and deceive the sheep. You see, brothers and sisters, if we are going to do church at all, why would we not do it right? I mean, if we plan on having a biblical Christian church that will honor God and have Jesus as the head, and one that will edify believers, and one that will win the lost to Jesus, it is inconceivable that we would not write down and explain in great detail what we believe and what we teach and be proud about it. But if the church is nothing more than a hobby, or a curiosity, or a social club, or if our church is something that is based upon nothing more than family or friends, or long-term acquaintances, then it really isn't a church anyway. It may be a lodge, or an association, or a social club, but it's not a church. Beloved, we have to remember that Christianity is not new. Christianity is 2,000 years old. The Christian church didn't pop up out of the ground last Thursday. Church didn't just happen either. Church is not cute or sweet or foolish or simple or frivolous or shallow. The church is not the invention of any man, and it does not exist for the pleasure of any man. The Christian church is a creation of God, and Jesus Christ owns it. Jesus bought and paid for the church with his own blood. Jesus owns his church. Jesus controls his church. And Jesus' church exists to bring honor and glory to him. And therefore it should be run in the prescribed way that Jesus said for it to be run, and not at the whim of the pastor, or the new revelations of the so-called prophets, or the carnal ideas of a board of elders or deacons, or the historical pronouncements of the Pope or the College of Cardinals. The Christian church needs to be done right. It needs to be in subjection to her head on every single area of operation. And the one single way that we know if we are doing that is to know the Bible and to teach the Bible and to strive to obey the Bible. Without sound scriptural doctrine being taught on an ongoing basis, we will soon be so off base and so far removed from biblical Christianity that we will be a target for every kook in the country to come in and prophesy goofy things, and your church will be a target for wicked and evil men to come in and teach your people off-the-wall stuff that will destroy their lives and their walk with God. And the blame of all this will lay at the feet of the leadership of the church because they did not see the need or didn't have the time or didn't care to hammer out a written, sound, biblical confession of faith that would comfort, care, and protect the sheep. Now some will say, Brother Blair, you're blowing all this way out of proportion. We don't need doctrine in the 21st century. We're all way beyond that. We need to build relationships, not seek after divine truth. We don't need to study the Bible. All we need to do is spend time together. We don't need to earnestly pray as a body and weep between the porch and the altar. All we really need to do is talk to one another. We don't need doctrine. What we need is love. We don't need to study the Bible. All we need to do is love Jesus. Beloved, those are the kinds of statements that are going around these days and that are sweeping over the modern church. But the fact of the matter is that everybody on earth already has a doctrine. We already believe certain things and we reject other things. And so the real issue is not do we need doctrine, because we already have doctrine. The real issue is that although many of us has already made up our minds about what we believe and what we don't believe, sadly, much of what we believe is not scriptural. Now, we believe it passionately, and we believe it, and we're fully persuaded about it. The only problem with it is God didn't say it. I tell you that some of our most firmly held beliefs today are a combination of what Mama taught us as a child, combined with what we have personally experienced in our lives, mixed in with a little bit of what we have read in some books, combined with what we've heard in church and on Christian radio and TV, mixed in with the words of some songs, and what we've heard on Oprah, and sprinkled with a little humanism and New Age mentality, and what they say on Rush and Fox News. For example, many people today in the modern church have confused American patriotism and American free enterprise and the American Constitution with Christianity. and we have become confused about being a Republican or a conservative with being a Christian. We have bought into the lie that says as long as you're a member of the right organizations, or as long as you petition your congressman to vote on the right bills, and as long as you are against abortion and homosexual marriage, then it really doesn't matter how you live or whether you are even saved. We don't need doctrine. All we need to do is love Jesus. Dear friends, we don't even agree on who Jesus is. For example, did Jesus actually and literally fulfill almost 400 specific Old Testament prophecies concerning everything from his parents and his birthplace to his lineage and his royalty and his deity? Is Jesus the Son of David and the Son of Man and the Son of God all at the same time? Is Jesus really the only way to heaven? Is every single soul on earth who is not born again going to burn in hell forever? Was Jesus a real man, or was he God wrapped up in human flesh, or was he both God and man? Or maybe Jesus was Michael the archangel. Or maybe he was just a spiritual concept. Or maybe he married Mary Magdalene and went to France and had a child, and his descendant was on Fox News the other day. Did Jesus live a perfectly sinless life? Did Jesus actually obey all of his Father's commandments perfectly in thought, word, and deed, never sinning ever? Did Jesus literally earn his own way into heaven, developing his own personal righteousness through his sinless life? Did Jesus really die? And if so, then why did he die? Did Jesus physically rise from the dead? Why did he physically rise from the dead? Was the resurrection on the first day of the week, or was it on the Saturday, the Sabbath? Did Jesus physically ascend up into heaven, or did he walk through a cloud and come over here to America? Is Jesus sitting in majesty on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us right now, or is Jesus floating around in space somewhere? But there's more. Was Jesus of the very same substance with the Father, or was he of a similar but different substance? Was Jesus always with the Father, or was Jesus the first created being? Is Jesus the second person of the Trinity, or is Jesus just another God, or is Jesus not God at all? But there's yet more. Is man justified by keeping the law of God, or is man justified by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ alone? The righteousness that allows you and I to go to heaven, do we in fact earn that righteousness through the accumulation of good deeds that we do over our lifetime, or is that righteousness instantly imputed to us by the miracle of grace from a sovereign God by faith alone? Is salvation an event that occurs one time through the supernatural miracle of the blood of Jesus being applied to a sinful heart, or is salvation a process that begins with infant baptism and extends over our lifetime up to and including a couple of 100,000 years in purgatory? Now, you may not really care about anything I just said, but each and everything I just mentioned are vital foundational teachings of some of the largest cults and false religions on earth that deceive millions of people every year. And that makes the answer to these issues very vital to us, beloved. The correct biblical answer to every one of these questions are very, very important, because how we answer these questions determine whether we are truly saved or simply deceived. So it is incumbent upon us to know how the Bible answers all these questions, and we need to know what God Himself reveals in Scripture about all these questions, and a vague, one-page, general statement of faith simply will not suffice in answering these kinds of questions. Neither will it suffice for us to try to wing it, or for us to try to make up our answers as we go along. These are the great issues of life and eternity, and they deserve an in-depth and biblical response, not a flippant response off the top of our heads. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.